The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott, this is Free Fire Radio.
Good morning and welcome to KCNR 1460 with Carl and Linda Bott. Linda is on assignment in a different area of the California right now. 5.5 minutes after the hour, 7 o'clock, and the news is brought to you by Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive, open 7 days a week. They're having a big event there this Friday from 5 to 8. The Rocky Patello is bringing in their newest line of cigars, and it's going down there. And yeah, there's going to be all types of giveaways and a good time down there. Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. Bob, weather.
Widespread haze, widespread smoke. That's the song we sing for the rest of the month, I think. Sunny and hot today, high near 102, overnight low 72. The smoky and hazy conditions continue for the next several days. The highs will drop down into the upper 90s as we head into the weekend, but generally speaking, it's a typical August, except for the fact that if you see the sun, it's pretty much just a little ball.
Yeah. The air quality index is unhealthy.
Yeah.
And it's spread all the way to the coast. The coast is unhealthy.
Look at the satellite pictures, the smoke from these California fires covers the whole of the Sacramento Valley. The whole, and if you've ever driven that, that's a big expanse. Well, and it spreads out to the east. Yeah. Almost to the East Coast. It is amazing.
The Mendocino Fire is probably at this point the largest fire ever in California history. It was 30 miles yesterday, so I'm sure it must be square miles yesterday, so it must be more. Ours is growing slowly, but they've got it 47% contained. Yeah. Less homes are threatened. You have all the facts right there.
Right. We'll get you an update. I just wanted to finish the weather report so we can thank our sponsor. 70 degrees right now in downtown Reading under hazy skies. And this report brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane.
Located in Anderson, a veteran-owned business that gives discounts for seniors and veterans. And as he pointed out on the show the other day, you're coming back into your home. And if the gas has been turned off, you might want to have a professional, your professional that supplies your propane, come on out and turn it on. Make sure it comes on right so you don't have gas going through your house that's just flooding into your house. The other thing is, if you have had the fire go through your area, is to make sure that your company checks the underground lines, because they're made of plastic. And in some cases, they could actually melt from the fire. So make sure you check on that. And if you have a question, you just call Shasta Gas Propane at 365-3793.
And updating you on the numbers, 15 days since this whole thing started. That's kind of hard to wrap your brain.
15 days?
Yeah, 15 days.
You know, for some reason, it seems like a month.
Yeah.
It does. I mean, doesn't it?
Current acreage, 173,522 with 47% containment. As Ashley mentioned, the number of structures threatened has dropped down. The number of structures that we have lost remains at 1,077. Commercial structures gone, 22 others, outbuildings, garages, things like that, 500. Steep drainages and varying wind exposure is the challenges that are facing the firefighters. I heard Hilo's out yesterday and listening to the radio. The traffic, a lot of flare-ups, so they are sending crews out on those as soon as they're spotted.
You've got the scanner going. And also, I just saw a bunch of service trucks, the ones that put the power back on, along with a dozer heading toward Weaverville.
Yeah. So there will be a lot of holdovers. So if you've got a large piece of property, beware, because holdovers will sit inside of a stump or under heavy duff for weeks, and then suddenly burst back into life.
The other thing, too, is if it's burnt down into the root system, that root system now is that the ground is unstable.
Yeah.
and it could open up. Anyway, okay. Hey, we are here with Barry Tippin, the city manager here of Reading. And thank you. You know, Barry, I know you could be at work right now, or you probably should be. No. But you're here to share some information about what's going on. Thanks a lot for being here, buddy.
Absolutely. Thanks for the invite.
Well, you know, the best thing, the thing that people need is information. I'm not going to get into it, you know, that there's 1,000 different stories. But, you know, what's going on and hearing it from people that actually where the information comes from or comes into is needed. So can you give us a quick overall of what you're seeing right now?
Yeah, let's start with information. I think one thing that people don't know is that, you know, in the early instance, like we just heard, is 15 days. And so while the fire was in and around Reading and the outlying areas, most of the communication was controlled by CAL FIRE. You know, they were the ones who were determining evacuations, letting us know what was going on. And, you know, we weren't really at liberty to share information outside of what CAL FIRE was sharing. And that makes sense. They were incident command, and you got to make sure that you have a single piece of information coming out. With this change, if you will, last week we had a huge effort towards repopulation. And right now we're totally repopulated within the city, and there's portions of the county that are slowly becoming repopulated. That's a shift, and there's a shift towards recovery as opposed to response. And so what we've done over the last week, we've tried to do a lot of press releases and a lot of posting on social media. On Monday, we stood up a new website. It's called ShastaReadingRecovers.org, and it has information related to recovery mainly. So it has a number of buttons for rebuild, debris removal. And what I will tell you right now is that there's some of those areas that don't have a lot of information right now, but we will be putting information up regularly, daily probably, as information comes in, as decisions are made. We'll be repopulating that, to use that famous term, repopulate.
That repopulation thing.
Right.
It's kind of like, you know, okay.
So the website, so that the most updated information, and so we're encouraging people to go to that site regularly. We'll be updating, you know, with press releases and posting on social media when we update that, so we can drive people to that source. We've met with some others that have websites that they've stood up regarding to recovery, so that they can link over to our site. So it's ShastaReadingRecovers.org, and we're trying to get as much information out as possible. I'll probably start doing some daily videos that will just recap what's happening that
That's
day.
A good idea. That's
because
a good idea.
There's things that happen in a day that we may not have final decisions on, but people probably like to know that we're meeting with OES or that we're meeting with FEMA. And so that's going on. I think that's an important piece. And in terms of what the city's doing right now, we're really on about three or four different fronts. Two that are really important for people, I think, is debris removal and trying to figure out all of the elements of debris removal. And the second is the rebuild process. What is that going to look like? And trying to get all that information put together so that people can understand, you know, what it is they will need to do to rebuild their homes.
Now, do we have a plan that takes a look at the next week, the next month, the next year? Has that been promulgated yet, or has that even been written yet?
Well, I would say it's in our mind. It hasn't been written because we don't have all the pieces.
Right.
You know, as a Saturday night is when the president declared the major disaster. Mm-hmm. That's an important element because it kicks in FEMA. They're going to have a disaster recovery center opened by Thursday or Friday of this week.
Okay.
FEMA will then run that disaster recovery center. And that's really important because that provides individual assistance. Mm-hmm. What we had before didn't have individual assistance. And so with the new declaration, there is two important components. One is individual assistance. For people who are underinsured or not insured and have shelter needs or other needs. And then the other aspect is the ability to get some additional reimbursement for public infrastructure damage, you know, and help us with watershed restoration and replacement of bridges and, you know, all of that stuff. And so those are the key important parts of the federal declaration. And with that now becomes meeting with FEMA, finding out what they want us to do, how they want us to do it, so that we're eligible for reimbursement.
Now, does part of this, of course, is this huge cleanup. that's toxic, it's hazardous. When FEMA comes in to do this, does FEMA take over that?
Yeah, that's not FEMA.
FEMA. That is still the city, right?
Well, it's what happened is that because of the magnitude of the damage, mm-hmm. the county declared a public health emergency.
Right.
When you declare a public health emergency, then you can tender to the state. You say, this is well beyond our means to actually do this. We need help from the state.
Right.
The state agrees. And so they come in as Office of Emergency Services. And what they do is they contract with CalRecycle, which is a state organization. And there's two phases to it. One is the hazardous waste removal phase, and the other is the regular debris removal phase. The hazardous waste is underway. So the Department of Toxic Substances Control is on site. They're setting up shop. We hope that they'll be out actually doing work and analyzing the properties by Monday.
Okay.
They will scan every property and clean every property from aerosol cans, propane bottles, paint cans, you know, and all that stuff.
Now, are these government employees that do this, or are they bringing in, like, contractors or things to help?
It's mostly contractors. So okay. You have both. You know, so you'll have some of the specialists that will do analysis and contractors that clean up, the debris and haul it off.
Will they be local contractors helping with this?
What OES has told us is they have prime contractor, which – you know, they've bid before, and whoever that is, and then that prime contractor attempts as much as possible to hire local subcontractors. And so that's what we've been told. We haven't seen it as of yet because it hasn't started.
It hasn't started yet, right.
But the bulk of the work really is the actual debris cleanup.
Right.
That's phase two. And phase two will have an opt-in and opt-out.
Okay.
If you opt-in, there's a right of entry that you have to sign.
An opt-in by who? The
property owner.
Property owner.
Yeah,
okay.
Sorry. The property owner can opt into this to have the state clean up their property.
Okay.
And if you do that, you sign a right of entry, and that you provide your insurance information, and you do all that, and you say, you can come onto my property, and you can clean it up. And they will clean it up all the way down and clear it, including the foundation.
Yeah, they take it down to the mineral soil.
Yeah, they take it down to dirt, and then they test it and make sure that it doesn't have any residual hazards.
Does this cost the homeowner anything?
Does not.
Okay.
So that option's free, and you know what happens is that if there's a gap between the cost of doing the work and what your insurance is, they tender that over to the city to figure out.
Okay.
The intent is to not to charge the homeowner. There's also an opt-out, and that's where a property owner just doesn't want to have the government do that work for them. They may opt out. When they do that, they have to pull a permit, a mm-hmm. demolition permit, and have to agree to do the cleanup to the same standards. But they do have the option to do it themselves if they choose.
Okay.
And then lastly, that right of entry form should be complete and ready to go by this week. Hopefully we'll have it out and people can fill it out and begin to turn it in on Monday.
So they'll take it down. The OES will bring in their contractors. If you opt in, they'll take it down to the dirt. Test soil, make sure it's not hazardous or contaminated or anything. Then they they leave, wave goodbye to you.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. And that's when the rebuild can begin.
And do we have I look at Santa Rosa, and I heard yesterday there's like 7 houses built since last year.
I think that's true. So let's put this in context.
Yeah.
Okay, the fire was in October.
Right.
Okay, so.
For them. Right.
The fire was in October. They had over 2,000 to 4,000 houses destroyed.
Downtown. Right? Gone.
In the rainy season. Okay, so what happened is that they cleared the debris and have occupancy on a home.
Mm-hmm.
In about 10 months. That's actually not very bad. And when you look at the grand scope of things, during the rainy season, permits foundations put down.
That's what I'm thinking.
You know, and what I understand
And how many companies are there able to...
Right. And there's over 500 in the process, mm-hmm. In the permit to construction process.
Homes are in process now. Okay.
And so they have, what I understand is, I've heard 5, you said 7. Their first occupancy was a month ago. And so... they actually had their first occupancy a month ago. And so, you know, that's
10 months.
Yeah. And if anybody's built a home, it's hard to get a house built in normal circumstances in 10 months. When you talk about your subcontractor schedules, when you talk about the rain that we have here, the city's arduous permit process.
Yeah. Well, that leads us to, you know, I just skipped a 15-minute break. Just write down what we've skipped here because let's talk about that.
Yeah.
I was being
facetious.
I know you were. I know you were because you and the county are forming a team
for
people.
Yeah.
I mean, you already have, right? And for rebuilds.
Right.
That as in this thing is for the permits and all the inspections in this.
Well, it's for everything. It's a wide scope of things. You've got obviously the permitting and sheltering and rehousing of everybody.
Right.
You've got the work on the watersheds. You've got the work on the public infrastructure. You've got the debris cleanup. You've got public information. You've got the financing element because you've got to work hard to get reimbursement from the federal government and the state.
Yep.
So we've each formed similar teams, and then we have two people at the top that are in charge. I've brought back Brian Crane as the recovery director,
mm-hmm.
is what we call him, and the county has appointed Pat Minturn. And so Larry Lees, me, Brian Crane, and Pat Minturn are what you would call maybe a steering committee for all of the work.
Okay, well, that leads us to the next question, then, is who's in charge of making sure all this happens?
So I'm in charge of the city. Larry's in charge of the county.
Okay. Where's the city council?
Well, the city council ultimately is in charge, right? I mean, their issues are policy and everything else. So when they approve the declaration, mm-hmm. the emergency declaration, what they do is they empower me to actually be able to make decisions outside of normal protocols if necessary to get the work done.
Okay.
When it comes to certain things like, we're looking at our ordinances and we're looking at, do we have to actually create a new zoning, a disaster recovery or fire recovery zone,
mm-hmm.
so that people don't have to be worried about whether they have to do something that the new zoning would require. If that's the case, we have to take that back to council. They approve that. And so really it works in conjunction. There's much of the effort that can be done at my direction or at Larry's direction,
mm-hmm.
because it's within our purview in running the city.
Right.
There's other things that are policy related that are going to be the council's purview. One of them, which is to every 2 weeks, they have to re-up the emergency declaration and determine that it is still required.
Do you see the city council having to meet more now because of all the things that are going on?
Probably not, because most of the items that are necessary for the rebuild won't require a deviation from policy to the extent that it needs a council approval.
Okay. So then overall in charge are you and Larry.
Yeah.
And then you've got Brian Crane and Pat Minutorn as director of reconstruction.
Yeah.
You can say.
Yeah.
Okay. So then people know then that the direction is going to be coming from you for the city and Larry from the county.
Correct.
All right. Good. People need to know who's in charge. That's the bottom line in any type of thing. The plan that you say it's in your head, when do you think it's going to be out there?
Well, so what I've directed in terms of the rebuild, I've directed our development services team to have a fully vetted and documented and diagrammed, if you will,
mm-hmm.
rebuilding process out within 3 weeks. But in that intervening time, as we make individual decisions, we will publish that information. So, for instance, as we get information on the debris removal, we will publish that information.
Okay.
When we make determinations on exactly building code requirements, because there's still some question about whether you have to rebuild to current code or whether there's some exceptions out there. And so when we determine that, we'll bring it out. But in 3 weeks, we intend to have the entire thing laid out on that ShastaReadyRecovers.org.
3 weeks, it'll be laid out.
Yep.
Okay. Do we hold you to that?
Yep.
Okay. So 3 weeks, one day, you get a phone call.
It's fine.
I imagine that you probably give yourself some time there to do this. Let's talk about that. Right now, when people are having to rebuild, they may have had a house, and I've heard 57 years they lived in a home and all this. There are new codes. There are new things that have to do this. What do you do with that then? I mean, there's some places that may not even be able to do that.
Yeah, We're looking at that. Our current opinion, and when I say ours, I mean the city's legal team, is that we don't have an option. The California Building Code is such that when you are rebuilding a home, whether it's new or whether it's been destroyed, you have to bring it to current code. And so that will be a challenge for some of the older homes. But I'm not sure it's going to be unsurmountable, because the homes that they were in, and if they want to rebuild the same home, they'll have more work to do in terms of laying out the seismic components, right, on the shear walls, or they'll have to do different windows and different energy calcs, maybe different insulation. Maybe they have to put in fire sprinklers. But the home that they knew and loved should be able to be brought back, if that's what they want, to new codes.
The Well, the insurance and the, well, the insurance on a home that say is the 57-year-old home or 50-year-old home or 30-year-old home, the insurance that it will take to replace it. I assume that the insurance companies are looking at, oh, this is what it will cost to replace it in today's money. So that would take care maybe of all the new plumbing and all the other stuff, seismic stuff and all this.
Assumption as well. I think every insurance policy might be a little bit different. I'm hearing all sorts of stories, like I'm sure you are, as people work with their insurance companies, that some are going to have the ability to do that. Some, it's just a lump sum, and you get to decide where you put the money. And so I think it's really dependent on your insurance company and your policy itself.
The LAC, the assistance center,
local assistance
closes
center.
Today at Shasta High School. Where's it going?
The closes tomorrow, I think.
What's today?
It could be today, Wednesday.
Wednesday.
But that's where the FEMA Disaster Recovery Center opens up. So the Disaster Recovery Center by FEMA is supposed to open Thursday or Friday. So they're really trying to make it
the place of,
correct.
And that takes the place of the local assistance center.
Yeah.
And where is that going to be?
Don't know yet. What I heard last night is that FEMA has a spot.
Okay.
And they're going to announce it shortly. I'm sure what happens is they land a spot. They have to talk to the owner. They have to do a lease agreement. Right.
It would be nice for them to, let
everybody
know.
Kind of a lot of empty storefronts around town.
As one closes, the other one opens, and we know where to go.
And I agree. So I'll back up and provide a little bit of defense, because remember, the president declared Saturday night. And so they have to come in and find some 40,000 square foot facility and get a lease put together within 4 days. That's not bad.
If it's going to take them a couple extra days, will the local assistance center stay open?
Don't know. I think their intent, as what I've been told, their intent is to have it open the next day. So, as of right now, I'm expecting they're going to put out an announcement. It's going to be open, but
they're the government. They're here to help.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so right now, I've been told that they intend to open. It's possible that they have a day lag.
Okay. FEMA, I know it's a little bit early. Is FEMA going to provide housing, like bring in trailers like they have in other places?
Yeah, I think that's to be determined. One of the things that's happening is that the county and the city, working with FEMA and OES, have to determine what is the rental market, what's the availability. They look at all those market dynamics before they make those decisions. What I have been told, and this is more anecdotal than anything, is that they don't prefer to have, a trailer park, if you will. That is not the best way that they see for recovery. Their preference would be find somebody a home, or to, if they do provide a trailer, that they put it on the person's property and they help that person.
And I've heard that.
Put it on the property so that they're on their property.
And they can stay on that trailer for up to
two years,
right?
Yeah, until they get it rebuilt. Yeah, until that's rebuilt. What I'm hearing. And so I haven't seen it in writing or anything else.
I heard that yesterday from somebody that lost their home, that there's that possibility there.
So that's their preference. And I think that makes a lot of sense. Try to get people back to their property and back to what they know.
Do you see permit fees and processing fees being reduced for fire victims, or even done away with?
Yeah, so we're debating that right now. I think what's clear is that an existing home that burnt down doesn't have impact fees, and I think that's an important distinction for people. So if people look at a home and they go, oh, my God, the fees are $35,000 for a new home, there's a lot of impact fees in there. There's school impact fees. There's water impact fees, traffic impact fees.
They've already paid for that.
Yeah, that they've already paid for that, or their house value incorporates that. So that is what we'd recommend that would be waived. Now, that's a council decision, but we recommend that that's waived. And then the other part is the actual cost of the work to be done.
Mm-hmm.
And our basic premise right now, and the council has not weighed in on this, is that those fees should be charged. And so that's, between $3,500 and $5,000, depending on the size of the house, for the rebuild. And that pays for the staff to actually process the paperwork and process the permits and do all the inspections and do all that work. And the reason for that is, number one, is the insurance should pay for that. Most insurance policies have up to a dollar amount that will cover fees for the rebuild. And number two is, if we don't do that, all that money comes out of the general fund. And so if you take, over 200 homes times $5,000, that's a lot of money coming from the general fund.
And that leads to the next question before we take a break. Let's take a break and get a drink of coffee here. Is we've lost a lot of, and I hate to say this, but revenue. When these houses burnt, because REU is, is, you know, all those people are not using electricity. Property taxes, because everybody's going to have those reassessed, and it's going to drop those property taxes tremendously. Just other things like that. What kind of impact will that have, do you believe, on our general fund?
My sense is it's not going to have a significant impact, and that's for two reasons. Number one is, you know, we have a lot more than, you know, the 200 homes, mm-hmm. while devastating, isn't a huge component, you know, of our total inventory,
if you will. The 1,000 homes, then, were not within the...
That's okay, correct. That's a distinguish. Right. In the city of Reading, there was just over 200 homes that were destroyed and about 92 that were damaged to some level. And so we're over 300 homes impacted when you look at the total inventory in the city of Reading. And the other thing is that number one, REU, for instance, they have reserves. They are prepared to absorb this type of thing, and so it's okay. And hopefully we'll get some reimbursement from the federal government ultimately.
I was going to say that we'd probably be able to get reimbursement for a lot of the stuff.
That's our hope.
That we get,
People don't always say that happens, but that's our hope. And the other thing is that we have been doing better than our projections in terms of property tax and revenues. We budget pretty conservatively, and we have done a bit better. And so if that trend continues, that would make up those gaps. And then the other thing you got to think about is that the reality is when you're rebuilding, that's sales tax, right? There's a lot of sales tax that comes from construction materials. And so that actually will probably trend up a little bit as we rebuild while property taxes go down. And so my feeling is that we'll be status quo for revenues.
Okay. We're going to take a quick break here. We're with Barry Tippin, who is our city manager, who's just filled with information here that we're trying to get all out in some kind of semblance of order. Attention, Native American families displaced by fire, the California Tribal Partnership, TANF Partnership, may be able to help you with emergency assistance. Applications will be taken to Hilton Garden Inn on Thursday, August 9th from 12 p.m. to 7 p.m. and Friday, August 10th from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. They are unable to service Reading Rancheria Tribal members. So income restrictions apply, but it's going to be at the Hilton Garden Inn Thursday at noon and Friday at 9 a.m. We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to be right back.
Real people, real winners. You'll find all your favorite table games at Wind River Resort and Casino. Everyday favorites like blackjack. You can't go wrong with a classic. Is single-deck blackjack hand-pitched more your style? Double-up blackjack, three-card poker, and fortune pie gow. Side wagers, lucky ladies, golden 21, and jackpot blackjack. Plus, mystery card roulette. No one else in town offers this. We'll make each gaming experience better than your last. Check out our monthly blackjack races, 500 cash up for grabs, and 500 free slot play. Explore our exciting table games and see what California's premier gaming experience is all about. Our friendly dealers provide premier gaming action 24 hours a day. On Thursday, August 16th, our 21 pit is turning up the volume and transforming into the Major League Party Pit. The Party Pit. Pure enjoyment featuring $1 select blackjack tables and $1,500 in awesome prizes. Dress in your favorite teams. For all the table games details, download the Wind River app. It's playtime all the time. All the time. At Wind River Resort and Casino.
Be careful posting on social media when leaving town for any period of time. With 66% of all burglaries being committed by someone who knows the victim, sharing where you'll be and how long you'll be gone is a sure sign that your home or business is vulnerable. That's all someone from your social media sphere needs to start scheming their way to your essentials. Wait to post those pictures from Hawaii till after you're home, and you'll save yourself some peace of mind knowing your valuables aren't being taken while you're away.
This Security Moment brought to you by North State Security, an ounce of prevention since 1968.
With all the activity in the community and now the pressure of school shopping, your wallet may be feeling the pinch. Before you bring out the charge card, look in the bottom of your jewelry box where cash is waiting to be found. The gold mark will turn your broken, outdated, unwanted, and salvaged gold, platinum, and diamonds into instant cash. Our expert staff have been helping people like you for over 30 years. We'll make the process easy, and we pay excellent prices. You'll be surprised just how much your unwanted gold will bring. The gold mark in the Town and Country Center, Hilltop Drive, Reading.
Hi, I'm Chuck Kinney, owner of Shasta Gas Propane. There's a joke around our company that our propane is better than other companies' propane. The fact is that most propane sold in the North State is manufactured in the same refineries in the Bay Area, so there's really no difference. However, there can be a big difference between propane companies. When you call Shasta Gas, you will be greeted by a friendly, knowledgeable customer service representative that will answer your questions or concerns and even give you an approximate time that your delivery will be there if you need to know. If you want, you can also talk to the owner, me. There may also be a big difference in prices between companies. Our motto at Shasta Gas is our customers are warm friends. So for safety, service, and savings, and to experience this difference, give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
And now, Carl and Linda Botts. This is Free Fire Radio.
Welcome back to KCNR 1460 with Carl and Linda Botts. Good morning, everybody. It's 24 minutes before the hour of 8 o'clock here on the 8th of August, 2016. It's 66 degrees, going up to 102 today. The air quality index is unhealthy.
Every breath you take.
Oh yeah, I tell you what. If you've got a, if you have people with lung conditions, with asthma, any of these, stay inside today. Stay where it's healthier. Kids or young children, and of course the elderly. Make sure that they're okay too, because they're. If you take a look at the particulates in the air, it's just amazing.
The respirator is the new Reading fashion accessory.
Well, I just somebody said, "Where's your mask?" And I said, "Well, I don't have a mask." They gave me a mask, so now I've got a mask. It's still in the plastic bag. I'll use it. I know someday. This portion of the show brought to you by Alliance Heating and Air. Have you had your filters on your air conditioners changed? You need to do that. How about the air ducts? You know, are they, you know, because it's been sucking in this stuff. Give them a call, 221-2642, Alliance Heating and Air. Check out their website, homecomfort.org, all these things going on. And by the way, if you have a swamp cooler, go up and drain it because it is just filled. It's going to look like an ashtray. And then wash off the filters.
Yeah, and that water is highly alkaline now because of the ash that's been dissolved in the water. The water is extremely alkaline, mm-hmm. and it will start eating the metal.
All right, you've heard it.
Don't wash it down your storm drain.
Nope, put it down your storm drain. There's all types of things that I've read, but one of the things you can lightly spray your yard, but don't let the water go down the storm drain.
Yeah, that gets into our waterways, into the Sacramento River.
Mm-hmm.
Not good.
Barry Tippins with us, city manager. Okay, and we're talking about all the things that are going on. We've talked about housing. We've talked about the who's in charge of this of our rebuilding here, and it's going to be Barry and Larry Leeds from the county. You brought back Brian
Crane,
and then Pat Minotaurin from the county. The city council is kind of like waiving some of their things so that you can make decisions. In a quicker manner.
Yeah, the emergency declaration that the right. council has approved allows for some waiving of policies related to public works or other things.
Yeah, and we're going to be seeing the plan forward in about 3 weeks.
Well, it'll be building that whole time.
Right.
So it'll be complete in three. That's on the complete permitting process. We should have complete information on debris removal much sooner than that.
FEMA's going to be up and running Thursday or Friday. Tomorrow or Friday. They're just right now finding that 40,000 square foot space they need. Let me see. They're not looking at bringing trailer camps in here because they don't want to have trailer camps. That's not conducive to getting people back on the on their property. But they will have trailers that people can put on their property. There's also going to be an Office of Emergency Services that you can opt in on this and fill out paperwork that's being built right now to let the state come in and just completely clear your property down to the dirt, take out the foundation, take everything out. At the same time, we're looking at the permitting process because homes that were built 30, 40 years ago are now going to have new things they have to have in there by law and changes. Maybe, you know, seismic windows, toilets, maybe even... Do you have to put water sprinklers in homes now?
Yeah, the current code has fire sprinklers.
Really?
Required. That's correct.
Wow. Okay. So all those things.
Yeah, they ought to be on the outside.
What about homes that have been partially damaged, Barry? You know, that 500 homes that have been partially damaged.
Yeah, and the city's about 92. And so there are some allowances if less than. So if you have, you know, I don't recall the percentage, but let's just use 50% as a starting point. Right. If you're less than 50%, there's some allowances for avoiding some code upgrades that just aren't feasible. And so that's the elements that we're sort of working through right now to determine what has to happen and what doesn't have to happen. And the other thing that I think is important to recognize is that most of the homes that were destroyed were built in the late 90s to now. And so they should have much less difficulty in upgrading the Sunset mostly the Sunset Avenues area, Sunset West, Sunset Terrace. Those are where we have some of the older homes. And as I drive through that neighborhood, I think several of those have probably been remodeled perhaps as well. And when they remodeled in the 90s, they had to bring their house to code depending on how much they did. And so it remains to be seen, and we're prepared to work with every homeowner in terms of what that requirement is and what they need to do and work with their designers as well.
Okay. I'm going to talk to – we have Carrie Kersney?
Karansi.
Be coming in here in the next hour. All the money that's coming in, millions of dollars. Do we have something in charge of that? Something is this a city thing? And so the city should be working with somebody. I know it's not the city's money, and it's not up to the city to spend it. But is it? There's got to be some kind of partnership in here between the county and the city and these all the money that's coming in. Yeah.
And that's a great question for Carrie.
And I'm going to ask her that.
Yeah.
So
my understanding is just as I talk around, there's plans. I mean, people have not just gathered money for the sake of gathering money. There are plans being put in play. There's, it's going to be put to good work.
The idea of what happened is getting the word out. We've got an emergency broadcast system here. The only thing it said was Shasta County evacuate. That's all it says on us. And when it comes out, and then of course, because we all tune into like two different stations or FMs. When the towers went down, that went down. Is the city looking at a way of being able to get a word of something of this magnitude out to everybody?
Yeah,
the code red and all that stuff. I mean, a lot of people didn't even know about it before. And in some cases, it wasn't even working till the next day. So.
Yeah, and I think right now, from my perspective, it's a bit early to jump to criticisms. Because we always can do better. And I think, you know, the state has, constantly revolved around, do we have a standard statewide, emergency response system? We don't. And so each county is responsible for its own. I think that, as we move forward, we'll obviously review what happened and can we do it better? And I'm sure we can always do things better. I think, I cross my fingers, right now, as far as our residents in the city of Reading, we haven't had any people who were killed. We obviously had Jeremy Stoke who died in defending, his city and performing just heroic deeds. But as far as people, in the city, at least, we have not found anybody that's been killed by a fire.
This wasn't poking, poking at people. This is something for as future as we plan, is to take an account of how we get the word out in the future.
And that will be.
This is one of. Would you say this is one of those 1,000-year fires or 500-year fires or something like this?
I would love to say that. I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
Yeah, it's all changed.
And unless things change dramatically, and this leads to probably some other questions, is how much leeway do we have in the city and the county to clear out some of this brush and to kind of like take away the tinder that caused it to come roaring down at 2,000 degrees into our city?
Yeah, well, within the city limits, we can do some things. The reality is that we were actually working on something to help, and we'll still work on that because it's still going to be necessary. But, when you get outside of city limits, federal land, federal forest and management processes and policies, they're different. And there's been a lot of consternation between, you know, all sorts of different factions. Right?
I understand what this is. This has been a battle going on for 30, 40 years. And the end results of it is what's happening to California right now. We're burning down. We've got more. We've got 24 fires going right now. You know, they don't measure them in acres anymore. They measure them in square miles.
Yeah.
But you said you had something y'all are working on for the city. What kind of things are you working on for the city?
Yeah, we actually started, and I'll give Julie Winter credit for, you know, bringing this up sort of in a small small neighborhood sort of context, that we've began to grow it into a citywide thing. And that's, well, for lack of a better term, I'll call it a landscape maintenance district. That mm-hmm. people have subdivisions, they have a landscape maintenance district, and they all pay into a pot of money to maintain the landscaping at their neighborhood. Julie asked whether you can use those kind of funds to do fire fuels management and clearing and all that. And, of course, the answer is yes, and we do that in some subdivisions. And I started thinking about, well, why don't we think about doing it citywide? And so we actually began talking about that. The attorney's done some work on that. And that literally was a month before Car Fire hit. And so, you know, my hope is that we can continue that dialogue and we can pursue that, and so that ultimately we have the ability to do more for our community in terms of maintaining our green space. But it takes a community effort to do that. It has to be, have a community will.
I think the community will is there now.
Well, they got to vote for it.
Yeah, well, they've got to vote for it.
Yeah, it's a landscape maintenance district. The city can't just do it. It's a vote of the people. And it's not a standard vote, and I won't go into the particulars. Mm-hmm. It's a vote. You send out the ballots, and of those who respond, mm-hmm. if their yeses are more than the noes, then it passes.
How about if the ones that don't come back are considered yeses?
Yeah, well, unfortunately, the law doesn't allow for that.
Oh, it doesn't?
No. Nope.
Oh, it's got to be the other way around? Yeah. Well, that's too bad. That's what happened to that other one. It was just, okay. We're here with Barry Tiffin. We've covered a whole lot of information today, and I appreciate that. We're going to take just a quick break, or an abbreviated break. And when we come back, I want to talk about what happens when, here's the concerns, this has been brought up several times, the rain. What kind of, you know, when the rains come after something like this, sometimes the disaster afterwards is, you know, is almost as bad as the fires. And I hate to throw that out there to people, but this is something we have to prepare for, too. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Jim from Design Time, your full-service shop. Are you looking for a wood look floor that is low maintenance and waterproof? Check out our luxury vinyl. Easy to install yourself, or we have professional installers available. There are many beautiful colors and styles to choose from. So come and visit our showrooms and see for yourself. We are located on Highway 273, just north of Wind River Casino. Don't forget, Design Time for all your flooring needs.
If your taste buds are craving a big, juicy burger, there's only one place you can satisfy your craving with the thick, juicy charcoal barbecued flavor of an ugly burger. Made fresh daily, cooked to order, and barbecued to perfection. Then smothered with your favorite fixins from the huge Fixins Bar. Only at Gift Steak Burger, a Reading landmark for 37 years. Now accepting debit and credit card. Gift Steak Burgers in the Mission Square Shopping Center on Bocelli Lake. Open Monday through Saturday at 9 a.m.
Giving a shout-out to Wayne and Pam Barney of Mistletoe Realty.
Hello, this is a fire news alert update from Andy Main at Shasta.com and ShastaBeam.com. We are sorry to hear about all of those people, friends, and neighbors who have lost homes in the Car Fire, and we wanted to let everyone know that the towers that are serving West Reading are still in service and operational today, some of them on backup power. During this very difficult time, Shasta Beam's towers have endured the fire, and we want anybody who is out of service to know that you can call our office today, and we can get you installed with internet and telephone service tomorrow to help you through this difficult time. Our phone number at the Mistletoe office is 605-2204. Please call anytime, and we would be happy to help you get service for internet and telephones installed as soon as possible. We would also like to encourage people to go to our ShastaBeam.com website for more information, including a 3-minute video clip of the fire as it approaches our primary tower.
Learn more about our shows and hosts. Check us out online at kcnr1460.com.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio in the studios of KCNR 1460. This is a portion of the show brought to you by Cornerstone Community Bank. With all this going on, go on and find out our Cornerstone Community Bank, your neighborhood bank, can move your dreams forward to help you regain your dreams. Cornerstone Community Bank. I'm here with Barry Tippin, city manager. After the fires come the rains. So what are we looking at for that, Barry?
Yeah, that's a great question. Of course, they had some problems in Santa Rosa. The rainy season was right there. And, of course, they had huge problems in Ventura, as right. we all know. And we're susceptible to the same thing. What CAL FIRE tells us is they actually have people working on mitigation and impact plans for slopes and revegetation right now. We hope to get a report from them in middle of August. And then from there, we'll work with OES and FEMA in a overall plan to address that issue. And so that plan could involve, you know, doing some bids and getting that work done. It could involve immediately responding and starting to do that work now. And so that is high on the minds of everybody in terms of a priority. We need to get that work done, and we need to protect those slopes. And if you look around where the fire areas, not only in the city but in the county, you know, it, of course, is in all this very steep terrain. And anytime you have that, there's danger for, you know, mudslides and, you know, just general erosion. So even beyond mudslides, massive erosion that comes down, debris comes down, clogs up our culverts. The culverts then flood, and that impacts properties. So that is a very, very important element for us to work on over the next 3 months.
The something I want to talk about, too, is the work of the city employees. You know, the REU, the fire was out for like 800 homes, right? It was 8,000 homes. That was like a Wednesday. By Friday, it was almost all up again. There's places in town that never lost power. If we were in one of those grids that we were in between the jail and Mercy, so I kind of figured that probably that's probably had something to do with us. But all the other organizations were working, but REU they did yeoman's work out there.
Yeah, I think, you know, if you look at our information technology, people don't even know about the work that they did working with our parks crew to get the generator going after it stopped on South Fork Mountain, which is the main communicating tower for our public safety.
Which burnt. Which, yeah. By the way, burnt over.
Right, and they were up there three times on that Friday making sure that thing was running, you know, taking out trees, getting up there. I mean, just huge efforts. Our water treatment plant guys, you know, they actually were on site at our Buckeye Water Treatment Plant protecting the site and making sure that that water treatment plant was working. That water treatment plant feeds all of the hydrants in River Ridge and Stanford Hills, and, you know, it provides the water flow for those communities and that the fire department used. You know, in REU, as you mentioned, you know, they jumped right in. And people don't – and I won't even get into the technicalities of it, but we lost a main feeder out to the world. We have two feeders that go to the world. We lost an entire feeder because it goes down to Keswick. And so, you know, between our power plant staff and making sure those generators are working full capacity, but we also have to have all these lines restored to make sure that we're not overtaxing existing lines and having new power outages. And so – not only REU, but public utilities responded. We have 10 different public utilities up here helping to restore our system. We're still working hard on our what's called the 115 KV loop around the city to stabilize and make sure that we don't have blackouts. And that's
and you say
still
10 other organizations coming in.
Yeah, it might be 10 crews, but we've got like Alameda, Santa Clara, okay. Roseville.
So we
SMUD.
talk about first responders coming in from all over the world here to fight this fire.
Yep.
And then but we sometimes forget that we've had police and highway patrol and now all these the utility companies coming up. The other day I watched like 5 utility trucks.
Yeah.
And
just
a bulldozer and some they were heading out today.
Yeah, and that might be Western Area Power Administration
trying to
get those transmission lines.
They were
up.
Heading toward Weaverville.
Yeah, as far as I know, this is the first time that the city has requested and needed help from other utilities. We do it all the time. Mm-hmm. We send crews out to help others. This is the first time I'm aware that we've actually had to ask for help in response.
Wow. Well,
but yeah, I couldn't be more proud of city staff. Obviously, the first responders. I mean, I just can't talk enough about the work that they did. But all the other people that people don't think about, and the efforts that they put in to make sure that everything was working and supporting that emergency response.
I tell you what, I don't know if I can't wait to see how long it's going to take people to start talking about, oh, we're paying them too much. Sorry, but it's going to happen. And then you think about these guys, they're watering plants during this fire. They take the time to water plants. And another story I had, and Angel talked about it on the show. Ruth Angel called in. They lost their house out in Old Chasta. But the highway patrolman that went up there came back and brought photos that were still there. That these are things that these guys and women were doing, plus the fact of injuries. I believe the service for Stokes is this weekend.
Yes,
at the Civic Auditorium. Yes. So for his remembrance.
And I heard the other night that three of our officers tracked down and caught a pet bunny rabbit to return. they're just helping those guys and gals. They're there to help.
Well, they are. And you know what? They want to do something. I mean, they're looking at all this disaster. And there's something else, too. I heard people that were irate because they couldn't get back into their places. They were irate until they talked about the Reading Police Department. You know, dealing with the Highway Patrol and the National Guard, especially the National Guard. Some of these youngsters could be given lessons in tact and how to handle people that have gone through this stuff. But in every instance, the Reading Police Department was... they singled them out as treating them like people and making allowances and helping them.
Yeah, and I'm glad you mentioned that because we heard early on about when we were repopulating some areas that some of the communication wasn't getting down to the roadblock people.
Yeah.
And so Captain Schuler and Chief Moore immediately made the decision that when we're going to repopulate an area, we made sure we had RPD at those evacuation or at those roadblock points.
Yeah.
And they were the point of contact because they wanted to make sure that they're dealing with, you know, their residents
right.
In the proper manner and not letting somebody else do it. And so, you know, those types of decisions that are being made by staff across the city, my belief as the city manager is empower people, and that's an example of empowerment where they just make those decisions
sure.
and they make it right.
And you've got to be able to trust them to do those things.
Absolutely.
Yeah, otherwise, they shouldn't be in those positions. So
agreed.
I think that we had the right mix here. And Barry, I'm feeling much better after I've talked to you. That we can, and we're going to take this interview, and of course we're going to stick it out and tell everybody to listen to it because there's so many questions that were answered in this. Is there any last thing you want people to know here before we have to break?
So ShastaReadingRecovers.org.
Okay.
We are going to continually update that site both with county information and city information. That is a joint project with the county. ShastaReadingRecovers.org, and that's where I want people to believe to be their source of the real and right information. There's a lot of other good websites out there, but if you start with that one, we'll push you over to other sites, and we'll have all the information that we have up on that site.
We're going to have to find a way to get people that don't usually use computers to get them up on them. And,
yeah, we'll also be releasing press releases and, like I said, have videos on where we can. Hopefully some of those will be rerun on the KRCR, for instance.
Well, we can take it. We can run it. We can run that on our YouTube channel,
yeah,
too.
And our hope is that Reading.com will actually go in and grab that information as well and put it out in print. And so our hope is to be a center point for all that information and then spread it out to all the various channels.
We need it, and it's time. It's only, you know, when you think back, it's been 15 days, but it seems like it's been 15 weeks at this point. I know that your hours that you're doing are you're a good thing you're on salary.
Yeah, right? Yeah, it's slowed down a bit. You know, yeah, it's long days, but I've been able to sleep at night, so that's a good thing.
I think people are now... now they're going to I think now is the time that people have really got to take a deep breath now, okay? It's happened. The fire's moved away. But we've got so much stuff to do, and we've got to work together. We've got to work together as a community and have some patience with each other on both sides and as we move forward.
I would like to think that this tragedy is going to make us, you know, regroup.
Stronger.
And as we move forward, you know, they say, you know, Reading Strong is that – let's not go back to that little petty bickering that we were doing before.
Yeah.
Let's all get above that. Let's fix this community and let's make it
great.
Let's
build it stronger.
Yeah.
I mean, it's we were getting ready to do that for this fire. Now it gives us even more impetus to move forward and do better.
Yeah.
Okay. Hey, in our next hour, we're going to have fire. Some people talks about how you can recover your stuff, or you've been burned or damaged, and things you should do. And also, we're going to talk about our Shasta community and how they are going to take all those funds and distribute. We hope we're going to talk about that. Anyway, we'll be right back after these messages.
The news is brought to you on KCNR, Shasta, Redding, by Tobacco and Brew. Come see their newly remodeled store at 2143 Hilltop Drive in Redding. Tobacco and Brew, open 7 days a week.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Rich Thomason. New York Congressman Chris Collins indicted on insider trading charges.
Collins turned himself in to the FBI this morning. Earlier this year, the Office of Congressional Ethics concluded that Collins may have violated federal law by sharing non-public information with investors of an Australian pharmaceutical company on whose board of directors he sat. Two Republican lawmakers told The Hill last year that Collins had urged them to invest in the company.
That's Capitol Hill correspondent Wally Hines. Some races still too close to call following yesterday's primaries in four states. In Ohio's special congressional election, Republican Troy Balderson leads Democrat Danny O'Connor by less than 1%, with thousands of provisional ballots still outstanding. Bullish on the American economy, President Trump making a bold prediction.
As the White House was announcing that $16 billion more in Chinese imports will face higher tariffs of 25% later this month, the president was telling business leaders it will all work out. He hosted some key corporate executives at his resort in Bedminster, New Jersey, and predicted economic growth so strong the GDP could rise by 5%.
Correspondent Jackie Quinn. Took just 11 days for one of the largest wildfires ever in California to ravage an area almost the size of Los Angeles. The Mendocino Complex fire continues to grow, although falling temperatures are helping firefighters. Homeowner Michael Morgan says this is one ferocious blaze.
It was loud. Yeah, I mean, it was roaring, and you could hear trees explode.
Pow, pow, pow. He spoke with KGO-TV. Police checking into reports of gunfire at Westchester Medical Center. It's north of New York City. Stocks mixed on Wall Street. The Dow down 32 points. NASDAQ up 8. More on these stories at townhall.com.
I'm Nick Sobolewski, a SelectQuote agent with a true story that could save you hundreds of dollars a year. A woman named Linda just called. Her husband, Ray, has a $300,000 group life insurance policy, but is changing jobs and can't take it with him. Well, I shopped the many highly rated term life insurance companies we represent and found Ray, who is 41 and takes medication to control his cholesterol, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $27 a month. That's almost twice the coverage for less than half of what he had paid. If SelectQuote hasn't shopped for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 800-452-6990. That's 800-452-6990. 800-452-6990 or go to SelectQuote.com. Since 1985, we shop, you save.
Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
A Japanese medical school accused of systematically discriminating against female applicants now admits having done so.
At a press conference on Tuesday night, the Tokyo Medical University's vice president bowed repeatedly in front of the collected media. He said his heart ached for the women who had been denied entry. Just how many women have been affected remains unclear. It is also unclear how they will gain redress. Japan's gender discrimination laws only apply to employment and do not carry any criminal penalty.
The BBC's Rupert Wingfield Hayes. Rain is lashing Tokyo. Dozens of flights have been canceled as a typhoon heads toward the Japanese capital. The storm, packing maximum sustained winds of 78 miles per hour, gusting up to 112, is about 160 miles southeast of Tokyo. The brunt of the storm forecast to hit Tokyo and nearby areas overnight. News and analysis at townhall.com. Tesla CEO Elon Musk laying out his rationale for possibly taking the company private.
Musk says the move would free the electric car maker to focus on long-term goals rather than the quarterly concerns of Wall Street. He detailed his proposals in a blog post on the company's website hours after stunning the company's followers by casually tweeting that he might take it private. Musk complains that Tesla is, quote, the most shorted stock in the history of the stock market, and many people, he says, quote, have the incentive to attack the company. Bob Agnew reporting.
Two Camden, New Jersey police detectives ambushed by a gunman while they were sitting in their car at a red light are expected to recover from their wounds. Police say that anywhere between 15 and 25 rounds were fired at the officers, and one of the detectives was able to return fire. The gunman remains at large. Yet on Wall Street this hour, the Nasdaq up 11 points. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR 1460, 5.5 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock here on the 8th of August. And the news is brought to you by Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. Having a big event here Friday from 5 to 8 p.m. out there at Tobacco and Brew when they have the Rocky Patel guys coming by. All types of things happening there. 2143 Hilltop Drive. We're here with, well, let's do the weather real quick, Bob. And so people will know that it's going to be bad and smoky and unhealthy out there.
Widespread spray, haze and smoke and hot for the next 2 weeks. Sunny and hot, high near 102 today. Calm winds becoming south 5 to 7. So those high winds never did materialize, thank goodness. Tonight, low around 72. Tomorrow, 103 for a high, 99 when we hit Friday, Saturday, and then it starts warming up again around Sunday. But temperatures will moderate slightly right around the century mark as opposed to the 110 degrees that we had been seeing. But all the way through for the next several days, we will have this smoke, and it will be a fact of life in our lives until the rains finally come.
That's right.
71 degrees and rising in downtown Reading, and the report is brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane.
365-3793, discounts for seniors and veterans, and make sure you check your propane tanks if you're just coming back in. Have your propane supplier help you get it back on. Make sure you're not having gas flood your house. And make sure you check those your underground pipes. They're all plastic, and they could have melted during the fire. So just some really wise words from Shasta Gas Propane. Hey, I'm sitting here with Carrie Carancy, and she is with the Shasta Regional Community Foundation. There
good,
we go.
Good morning.
Good
Thank
morning.
You for having me.
And the big question is that, you know, of course, you all are out there helping. And all this money, everybody wants to help. And all this has been coming in to help our residents here. Sure. Carrie, what happens now?
Sure. So the Community Foundation activated our Community Disaster Relief Fund, and we've seen an amazing outpouring of support from not only local donors, but organizations, other foundations, and larger corporations outside of the Reading region, which is really important because we need that influx of money right now as we begin the recovery process. So as of about yesterday or so, we've raised $1.7
million,
which is fantastic, but a lot more is needed.
And a lot more is going to come in.
A lot
I'm
more
sure.
is coming in. And we just need to remember this is – this is going to be a very long marathon. So the work that's being done by the United Way, the Red Cross, Salvation Army, everyone at the local assistance center, they're providing wonderful immediate relief. That's where people need to go. That's where people need to sign up and make sure that they're being seen and helped.
Okay.
When all of that is done and people go away or things are finished, that's where the Community Foundation can step in. We're here for the long-term recovery.
Which we've estimated could be 5 years, 10 years, maybe in some areas.
Yeah, we don't even know yet since the fire's still burning.
Fire's still burning. You know what? There's nothing that says, God forbid, it swings back. Look at French Gulf.
Absolutely.
They're still evacuated for the last 15 days. Mm-hmm. Okay. And then we've got the rains coming, too.
Right, and that poses a whole nother, myriad of issues mm-hmm. as the rain comes with the hills and everything else. So we're really here and poised for the long term and helping with this recovery effort.
Okay, and that's what you all do.
So, correct.
Now, as I was talking to somebody yesterday, and the case management of this disaster, we're talking 292 houses in Redding itself, but Shasta County is 1,077 houses, another 500 damaged, God knows what else out there. And the effort it's going to take to do this, are we up ready for that yet? I mean, this is something that's one of those 500 years. So you're not going to be sitting there with a staff on the shelf, in case this fire hits.
No, unfortunately, we don't have that right now, but the local groups in conjunction with government partners are gearing up right now to build the long-term recovery group, and that group is going to be critical in our success for recovery and rebuilding, and within this long-term recovery group, that's where case management will be identified as to who will be running it, mm-hmm. what person will actually be doing it, and how that can best help our survivors in their recovery, walk them along the lines and really hold their hand and help them.
There are so many things that are out there that people can put trailers on their homes, but, on their property, their homes are gone. All these things that are going on, we just learned from Barry Tippin, and with FEMA coming in either tomorrow or Friday. Are you linked in? Are you the overarching umbrella, Carrie, for all these things, for the community? I mean, on that kind of side of it?
We are in terms of the monetary donations.
Okay.
We're positioning ourselves in a way to be able to help with grant dollars down the line.
Mm-hmm.
We certainly don't claim to know ins and outs of FEMA or anything in that regard. But we are here to help the organizations and the local nonprofits really get down and dirty with the survivors and help them, and how can we help support those organizations.
Okay. If people wanted to donate and to make sure that the money's going to specific areas, they would come to you then?
Absolutely. You can give us a call at 530-244-1219 or check out our website at shastarcf.org. And 100% of the donations for our recovery efforts are going straight back out the door. There is no administrative fee. We aren't taking anything. Credit cards charge processing fees. We can't get around that.
Right.
But everything else is going straight back out the door.
And this is important, my friends, because we're given to other organizations that take a look at how much it's taken off the top, or it goes into the national funds. How can you say it? Well, because it's true. Let's take a look at where 100% of everything goes back into our community. Now, we've got places that have collected hundreds of thousands of dollars. And if they haven't linked it already with somebody, it's just kind of sitting there. Do we know what's going to happen with that? Are they going to turn it over to you? Or do we even know?
Last time I looked, there was over 600 and some GoFundMe pages.
Yeah.
And those are typically for individuals, so that's great, because individuals do need help if that's where you want to give. If we can help partner with any other groups or organizations, we'd love to help you do that. It's what we do all day, every day, anyways, outside of a disaster. Mm-hmm. This is our expertise. Board and staff, we are here. We live here. We're local. We care about everything and everyone. And so that's our main goal.
Okay. We're here with Carrie Carancy, and she's head of the Shasta Regional Community Foundation. How many people do you have working for you?
We have a total staff of 6, so we're small but very mighty.
We are small but mighty. That's from Shakespeare, by the way.
Yeah.
So if you want to help, how can they get a hold of you?
Give us a call, 530-244-1219. Or check out our website, ShastaRCF, for Regional Community Foundation, .org.
Okay, it's a little bit early in the game, but we've got you on. And as another couple weeks, we want to bring you back on again and see where we are with that. Just remember that every dollar you donate to Carrie and her group goes right back into our community. They're going to be building up the case managers as this comes in, because just the idea of when you have a lot of money and you've got to just make sure there's so many people that are going to need help here that you need people to manage it and people to run it. So all this is being built as we speak. So
absolutely. Everything is going to be completely transparent. Any penny we spend will be on our website. You can follow along with us.
Okay. And as Bob said, it's 15 days. Is that it? 15 days since this fire started?
Yep.
Seems
wow.
longer.
This is day 15.
Yeah. Seems longer, doesn't it?
Much longer.
Much longer.
July the 23rd.
Wow.
Wow. Carrie, thanks a lot.
Thank you very much.
All right. Hey, we're going to have some guys in next. We're going to talk about how, you know, what happens if you've had the fire touch you, kiss you, burn you out. They're going to talk about some of the things you should be able to be, you should be looking for, watching, and services. So we'll be right back.
Rona's Appliance Center.
As your local Whirlpool, KitchenAid, Maytag, Amana, and Janair dealer, we have a showroom and a warehouse full of appliances. This allows us to provide same-day or next-day delivery of your purchase, whether you purchase a high-end appliance or a basic appliance. Our store is open 7 days a week with installers on staff. And if your install is more complicated, we have outside contractors available.
Carmona's Appliance Center, your locally owned brand source dealer, Mistletoe Lane, Reading. Like us on Facebook and log on at carmonasappliances.com.
Loverboy has been delighting audiences on the weekends around the world since 1979. Join us Friday, August 10th as Wind River Resort and Casino welcomes Loverboy live in the Event Center with their trademark red leather pants, bandanas, big rock sounds, and high-energy live show that includes their string of hits. Turn Me Loose, The Kid Is Hot Tonight, This Could Be the Night, loving every minute of it, and their mega hit, Working for the Weekend. Loverboy's catalog includes some of arena rock's most enduring anthems. This is sure to be a sold-out concert, so purchase your tickets now at the River Club or WinRiver.com. Tickets for this event are just $25, $30, and $35. Don't miss your chance to see Loverboy in concert at the Wind River Resort and Casino Event Center Friday, August 10th. For details, call 1-800-280-UN or download the Wind River app. Must be 21 to attend. Concerts are better at the River.
With all the activity in the community and now the pressure of school shopping, your wallet may be feeling the pinch. Before you bring out the charge card, look in the bottom of your jewelry box where cash is waiting to be found. The gold mark will turn your broken, outdated, unwanted, and salvaged gold, platinum, and diamonds into instant cash. Our expert staff have been helping people like you for over 30 years. We'll make the process easy, and we pay excellent prices. You'll be surprised just how much your unwanted gold will bring. The Gold Mark in the Town and Country Center, Hilltop Drive, Reading.
We learned it the hard way. Wildland fire is a fact of life for us. The only real protection for your home and property is defensible space. Remove ladder fuels, brush, and trees that can take the fire right into your house. But cleaning up your landscape is a big job, and Cal North Forestry is up to the task. They are the professionals. Cal North Forestry. Give your home the best chance at survival. For a free estimate, call 209-9473. 209-9473.
Summertime is fun time in Northern California. We're Billy and Patrick with your personal invitation to have more fun in a brand new Kia from Redding Kia, your official summertime fun headquarters.
Celebrate this summer with no payments for 90 days in a new 2018 Kia Niro. This sporty 50-mile-per-gallon crossover hatchback hybrid is showing up everywhere in NorCal.
I've got one. I love it.
And nothing says summer like the 2018 Kia Soul. That's the cool crossover that sits up nice and high, has tons of storage. Like all Kias, it's America's best value. We have a Soul, and it's perfect.
The 2019 all-wheel drive Kia Sorento is here. There's room for your camping gear. It has power for towing and is at home on or off-road.
Get yours today and make no payments until fall.
No cost, lifetime oil changes, and tire rotations are yours when you take home your new Kia from Redding Kia, proud sponsor of community events like the Mosquito Serenade.
Finance offer on approval of credit ends 8/10/2018. Redding Kia, reddingkia.com.
The hotline is open on KCNR 1460, 530-605-4567.
Welcome back to KCNR 1460 with Carl and the Bot. Good morning, everybody. 18 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock here on the 8th of August, 2018. 72 degrees, going up to 102 today. The air quality index is unhealthy, okay? It's unhealthy. It's unhealthy over by the coast also, and probably into Reno, Sparks, Southern California, Southern Oregon. It's unhealthy. It could have something to do with 24 fires burning in California. Weather report brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane. 365-3793 discounts for our seniors and veterans, and all of their customers, please give them a call about getting your propane turned back on and done correctly. Okay, we're sitting here with Sean Gasson from
Gasser.
I'm sorry, okay, I just can't read my mind. From American Fire Recovery. Good morning, Sean. You're a local guy here.
Good morning, Carl.
You know, from here. And reason I had you in is because I was approached by a friend that said, you know, there's so much going on, and what do people do? And, you know, how do we start this recovery? And you all have been in the business for like 30 years, I believe.
That's correct.
And so talk to us about that. And you're a local guy, too.
Yeah, I grew up here in Redding with the Shasta High School, and since moved to Sacramento. Mm-hmm. I started in 88 with my uncles, and we addressed the Oakland firestorm. And that's where a lot of the fraud and kind of contractors out licensed started this. And so they're very protective of how things go. Since then, it's kind of set a precedent. The most important thing when this thing happens is that you have to remember you've paid your premiums, you've lost a lot, there's some grieving that goes on, but you have to find an experienced person and an experienced team to handle this. You have lost your home, you've lost your contents, you have to have a builder that's able to do it. You know, the economy's been good and people have been building homes and they're really busy. So, they're probably going to have contractors that come from outside the area, but you have a blank check for your contents, your additional living, and your home. It doesn't mean that you're going to reach the limits, but you're going to have to put that number in that check, and it's up to you to do that. And you're going to have someone that knows how to be able to do that.
Okay, so when we're talking about, before we even get to the reconstruction, and,
yes,
and this is something everybody needs to be aware of, is that there's going to be contractors coming in from all over. So, you know, they've got to have certain, you know, they need to have licenses, they need to be insured,
yes,
they have references, all,
yes,
these kind of things. What I know you're doing with people right here in,
yes,
town already is you're going into their homes and taking a good look at what, you know, their furniture and all the different things they have. Even if they their homes are there, but they're scorched, but they have the smoke and ash.
Yes,
which is has a huge impact on their lives.
Yeah, it does. And not everyone's home has been burnt down to rubble. Some are partial burns. Our first client just had more smoke damage, where the contents are going to need to be packed out, cleaned. The home will be cleaned from the inside, probably painted, carpet replaced. And those are things we've already walked with the adjuster. With my clients, as an example, we kind of told them what would happen, and everything came into fruition yesterday when the adjuster showed up and, mm-hmm, everything that we told them would happen, because that's the 25, 30 years of experience.
You don't charge for this either. This comes out of the insurance.
Yeah, this all comes out of the insurance, and this is what I wanted to get out to people. And I have a lot of friends that lost homes that I will be taking care of, but to call me if for any information or just to be able to point you in the right direction, I will help anybody. I'll spend as much time on the phone with anybody from Reading that needs any information or help, more than happy to help them in this situation.
I know also there's other companies coming in from all over that,
yes,
they're doing this. What would you tell people if they're approached by a company?
Yeah, that's a good that's a good question. First of all, people have to remember you are the boss. You're in charge of your own claim. You paid the premiums. Nobody else has. It's generally really not even legal for an adjuster or your insurance company to even show up with a contractor. It's up to you to find. If you don't have one, then they will use the house and offer. So when approached or looking for something, you're going to want a contract, of course, with that specializes in the fire rebuilding phase. You're going to want them to have insurance, 3 references, 4 references, check as many as you want, go on Yelp, go on the Better Business Bureau, make sure that they have good reviews. And it's a relationship. This building process normally would take a year, and this stuff with the red tape and things, it might take up to 2 years or so.
It can take a long time.
Yeah.
We know that now.
Yes.
We were just talking about it earlier. The city and the county are putting their reconstruction groups together.
Yes.
So the permitting process, the cost of the impact fees, they're looking at doing away with impact fees because You're already living there. You shouldn't have to repay impact fees, but there's still other some smaller fees. I'm talking about, okay, and in the case that I'm talking about, the people that I know, our friends, a lot of smoke damage to their furniture.
Contents.
Yeah, contents. And stuff that's, you know, like couches and chairs and things like that.
Right.
Does your company take care of things like this?
Yes, that's what we do. We'll take things just like a movie company would come in. Your boxes are packed up and labeled. The furniture is taken out. It's taken to our shop where things are processed through an ozone process, which breaks all the smoke down from soft goods to hard goods and turns it back into oxygen. It goes into the content itself, wood, metals, fabrics.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're cleaned with organic products. And then they're shrink-wrapped and they're stored until the insurers are ready to move back into the house. And that's where you get the process. People that have the light smoke damage, but you're still running your air and you're pulling the smoke in. We've never been in a situation where the fire is still going in this firestorm situation.
It's still going.
Yeah, it's still going. That's unprecedented.
So there's lots of particulates in the air. So this may not be the time then to, once you get it cleaned, if you get it cleaned in the next couple of weeks, unless this is down,
right?
Unless this fire is gone and the smoke is down, you would just reinfect.
Yeah. And one thing I would caution people is there's no reason to rush into signing away yourself with a contractor or the insurance company. Take a little bit of time because nothing's going to happen on the ground right now. And you need to do your homework. You need to, again, make that connection and build a relationship with a builder that you're going to be comfortable with and has the experience to help you through this process. You'll get a check, and let's say it's $100,000 and you have a $500,000 loss. That money's going to come out of your contents or your building or your dwelling. So I don't know if people even understand that sometimes. It's an advancement. Sometimes you'll leave yourself a little short. 30% or 40% normally is what you're left short, and you need someone to be able to find that damage and point it out to the insurance company, get that extra 30% or 40% of your money, and that can be big money, sometimes $100,000.
And it's not because in the adjuster, in every case, but it's not because the adjuster is just trying to save money for them. It's the fact sometimes maybe they are missing things, or they're not up on certain things.
Right. I think that's 50-50. My experience, not everyone's bad or out to mess with the homeowner, but sometimes it's just business, and they're there to limit the damage that's already been caused.
That's their business.
So you have to, that's why it's important.
They'll want to, hey, let's just vacuum your rugs real good.
Right.
And do a rug cleaner and see how that works.
Right.
That's not going to work.
Right. Well, if you have someone with experience, they can tell them, hey, in our experience, we don't want to waste the money to attempt to clean, and then we have to replace it anyways. We call that double dipping in the industry. So we try not to do that. Be fair for the insured and the insurance company.
All right. So we're talking here with Sean Gasser.
Yes, sir.
From American Fire Recovery. So they can get a hold of you at?
916-869-4253.
You can look online at, www.afrfire.com.
Yes, sir.
Local guy working with some of the people that we know and who looked at references and all this. And like I said, known to a lot of the people around here. Sean,
Yes. Hey,
thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much, Carl. I appreciate it.
Okay. And like I said, he will be glad to talk to you. But if you have any questions on this,
anytime.
You don't have to hire him. He's here to help his friends and community.
I will be up here for a while, so yes.
Okay.
Anytime.
All right. And we're going to put this number out on the on our website too.
So thank you, Carl.
Right in the back there. Okay, here we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Visit the emergency room, but when life's accidents happen, you need to get treated, not seated. Shasta Regional Medical Center is located at 1100 Butte Street in downtown Reading. They have emergency room doctors and staff that guarantee you will be seen by a medical professional within 30 minutes of your arrival. Shasta Regional Medical Center believes in delivering patient-centered health care with compassion and respect for every patient and their family.
Purpose-driven banking. That's the vision behind the founding of Five Star Bank in 1999. Services inspired by partnership and defined by shared vision and goals. Five Star Bank, a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Your success is their success. Now that's smart people doing good business. In a world that's both more connected and more isolated by high tech,
Five Star Bank brings you a personal touch to small business banking, cash management, and online services. Five Star Bank, consistently rated among the very best by industry associations, rating agencies, and, of course, customers and partners just like you. Your partner in success is Five Star Bank. FiveStarBank.com. Visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Progressive, professional, personal. That's Five Star Bank. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Hi, I'm Chuck Kinney, owner of Shasta Gas Propane. There's a joke around our company that our propane is better than other companies' propane. The fact is that most propane sold in the North State is manufactured in the same refineries in the Bay Area, so there's really no difference. However, there can be a big difference between propane companies. When you call Shasta Gas, you will be greeted by a friendly, knowledgeable customer service representative that will answer your questions or concerns and even give you an approximate time that your delivery will be there if you need to know. If you want, you can also talk to the owner, me. There may also be a big difference in prices between companies. Our motto at Shasta Gas is our customers are warm friends. So for safety, service, and savings, and to experience this difference, give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
Are you struggling financially? Swallowed up in debt? Are you looking to buy a house but are not sure of your credit standing?
What does that credit score even mean?
Why are there three different bureaus?
What score is most important?
Looking for a local expert?
Give me, Joe Radola, a call. Your credit affects everything from borrowing money to landing that perfect job. With over 40 years of providing financial services, I am committed to helping you achieve your goal. I can provide you with full credit report and in-depth review for only $25. Let me provide you with the tools you need to improve your credit standing and your financial freedom. Give me a call today, Joe Radola, 941-3021, or on the web at jrdebtconsulting.com. Your local choice in credit repair.
Hear us streaming 24/7 at kcnr1460.com.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio in the studios at KCNR 1460. It's 28 minutes before the hour of 9 o'clock here on the 8th of August, 2018. 72 degrees, going up to 102 today. Air quality index, unhealthy. It's unhealthy here. It's unhealthy everywhere in California, including the coast. Hey, how's that make you feel? Well, we're safe on the coast. Not so fast. We got a big crash. A big accident,
I should say. Your route into town is Highway 44 westbound, be prepared for delay. Looking on Google Maps, there's a big red line running all the way from the 5 up into the city. There's a traffic collision at Auditorium Drive involving a Honda Pilot and a gray Ford. Units are on the scene from the CHP and City of Reading and wreckers, and they're all trying to get it cleared out. But right now, it is a mess. Highway 44 westbound Auditorium Drive. Take an alternate route if at all possible.
This portion of the show brought to you by Cypress Square Barbershop right off of Athens Avenue. Discounts for seniors and veterans. Man's Last Stronghold in there. Hey, I'm here, of course, with Todd Jones. Good morning, buddy.
Good morning, Carl.
From EDC, Economic Development Corporation. Okay, a quick one. We've got other people here we want to talk about that's just near and dear to my heart. For a variety of reasons, Stillwater.
Yes, still negotiation.
Still in negotiation.
Yeah, things slowed down a little bit. Obviously, we have our own things that we're dealing with here, and the city is negotiating with Tony and primarily at the EDC to work on that deal. And then Panattoni also has a lot of things that they're working through right now. So it's still going. Still
did
moving
you,
forward.
Did you hear Barry Tippin this morning?
I only heard parts of it.
Okay.
I heard
you,
when
you
I was
didn't hear
in
about the 500 trailers they're going to put at Stillwater? That's
are
what
they?
FEMA wants to do.
Are they really?
No.
I haven't heard that. I heard some people on Facebook the other day say they want to make an army camp.
No, I've been saying it on here too, but yeah. I think that there's a plan. FEMA's going to be open tomorrow or the next day.
They're looking for space, and I don't know if they found anything yet.
Well, I heard that. Okay, I just heard is the Vet Center down here. It might be was going to be leased for a couple months. I don't know if that's
enough.
They need
warehouse space. The docks is what I understand. Yeah.
The other thing, too, is that they have they're getting away from these trailer camps or the prefab camps. It's hard to get people out of there. That they will provide trailers though for people to put on their property. And once the property is cleared, to put it there, so they're on their own property for 2 years.
Yeah, I think that makes a little more sense. My in-laws went through the Fountain Fire back in 1993, and that's where we evacuated to actually during the fire. And they had bought a trailer and put it up there while they rebuilt, and you know it made them feel a lot better. They could see the progress, and they can be on the property. Plus, Stillwater, one of the challenges out there is, you know, there's not transformers down to the power that you need for residential or even these trailers. I mean, to put the infrastructure is there at the street, the big stuff for like manufacturers, but to bring it down to the level where an RV or someone like that's going to be plugged in would certainly take a lot of work. So it's not exactly plug and play out there.
What else is going on with our business community here?
Well, we're working with a lot of different folks in the community. The EDC, we don't have a lot of programming necessarily to help businesses in town quite often, unless they're talking about expansion. Mm-hmm. But we are working really closely with folks like the Superior California Economic Development, mm-hmm. SCED. I don't know if you know Bob Nash and Ryan Richardson. They primarily do SBA loans, SBA 504 loans for businesses, for buying a new building, for retrofitting. A lot of great examples of what they've done in town. They rolled out last week, pretty much immediately, an emergency $5,000 loan, which is 6% interest. You can get cash in hand within 72 hours. So if people, my business was closed for a week, they've already deployed at least one of these in the Lewiston area, mm-hmm. And they're working with other people that just need that little stopgap coverage while insurance might not cover what they need or whatever the case may be. If they're impacted by the fire, Superior California Economic Development can help you. And they're also working with EDA, which is the Economic Development Administration, mm-hmm. and FEMA as well, for some grants that they're going to be rolling out with and some loans. So SCED is what we call them. They're going to kind of be the clearinghouse for some of these federal funds, specifically when it comes to businesses. So Small Business Administration, FEMA, and EDA, some of that stuff will go through them. But right now, the one thing they do have available is this Quick Strike loan. $5,000, 6% interest, and you can get the cash in 72 hours. So working with people like them, meeting with the chamber tomorrow. And Carrie was just on. I didn't quite hear what she was talking about, but she's really been a leader in bringing together all these nonprofits and different entities to see what everyone's doing and how we work together.
That's one of the problems is that they've got to get a case manager now because they've got like $1.6 million sitting there that got to get the case manager. But all this other money, you know, a lot of them are GoFundMes for individuals, but some of them are larger ones that have a lot of money that's been collected. So, where's that money going to be funneled? Who's going to take care of it? And we need somebody. You know, I think the Shasta Community Foundation would be probably the one to do it.
Oh, yeah.
And 100% of it goes right back in our community. And they said, like she said, we're going to have to hire somebody to run this. So it's going to be huge and it's going to last for a while.
It's all local. Really, I think they're not doing any administrative fees for some of these funds. So I tell everybody from out of town, hey, how can I help in what's happening in Reading financially? And I say Shasta Regional Community Foundation is the place to go.
And I said, just wait until I get back to you because everybody wants to help. And I said, now I'm going to funnel them into that too.
Yeah.
They want to give money. We've gotten so much in material goods. I mean, literally, so much in material goods that, you know, people are saying, stop. We can't even handle it coming in. We can't even catalog it.
Yeah, it's incredible.
A lot of stuff like that. Yeah. But, you know, really when it gets down to it, it's cash.
Yeah.
That's going to help people.
And Community Foundation, you know, obviously they're not the ones that are handing a check to an individual, but they're going to be supplying money to all these different entities in town that are doing the work on the ground. So they're an amazing organization.
Okay.
I have some fun stuff with me. And it's not fire related.
It's not fire related.
It is time to talk about the startup community, and we have a lot of great ones in our community. So I brought on two guys with me today from Patriot Pen that can help make your AR-15 California compliant.
Wow.
It's an amazing product and a local startup right here in Reading that's helping people all over the state.
I'm here with Bart McCurdy and Travis Klein. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
What is Patriot Pen?
So Patriot Pen is basically a rear takedown assembly for your AR-15 that makes disassembling your AR very quick and easy. Because the new law says that in order to keep all of your evil features on your gun, you have to first disassemble the gun before you can release the magazine. So our part makes the disassembly part very quick and easy. And we also sell, you know, the magazine lock and tools and a bunch of other stuff to kind of complement that system.
Okay. So explain to people what the new rule is. Now, you can do – there's a number of things you can do. You can completely change the appearance of your Armalite rifle.
Right.
Rifle. By taking off the flash suppressor and put on a muzzle brake, which looks just like a flash suppressor. Make sure you keep your receipt with you. you take off the a telescoping stock and put a different type of stock on it.
Yep.
And see what else. I think that's
pistol grip.
Oh, yeah, do away with the pistol grip. And then you've got a
featureless rifle.
Featureless rifle that doesn't need a bullet button either.
Correct. So you can have a regular magazine release with a featureless rifle, but it really makes your gun awkward. Like it's, I don't know if you ever shot one, but since you can't have a pistol grip, it's all webbed off. It's really hard to like wrap your hand around it, and it's non-adjustable stock, so you're kind of stuck with it. It's just awkward all the way around.
It is.
Not to mention they're really goofy looking. Bullet buttons are no longer legal. A lot of people don't know that. And we're past the registration period, so the only way you can have a bullet button is if you've registered it as an assault weapon. And we're beyond that point. So if you have one that's not registered as an assault weapon...
It's too late.
It's too late.
I called down the Department of Justice. I said, hey, this you know, it crashed.
Mm-hmm.
The system crashed for, a week. And I said, so are you guys going to give them an extension? And they wouldn't answer because they're being sued. Then they came back and they said, I got disarmament into it. So, they were pounding on their door. And they said, look, it's a law. We can't arbitrarily at the Department of Justice just extend it. So that's the law. If you don't have it, your sporting rifle, I refuse to say, an AR. I just refuse to say it because I've been in the military way too long to say that the rifles out there are assault weapons. They're not assault weapons.
Doesn't have a selector switch.
Doesn't have a selector switch. You know, they're not built to the, in many cases, they're not even built to the specifications to fire thousands of rounds.
Right.
That goes to the internal components. Anyway, and they said, nope, we can't do anything about it. So if you're not registered, you've broken the law.
So I don't know if you heard, but the DOJ released their numbers as far as the amount of people that actually registered. So up until April of 2018, there was about 6,000 people. Only 6,000 people had registered about 13,000 guns in the state of California.
Okay.
There's still about 50,000 left that have not been processed yet. So it's basically less than 60,000 people in California registered their weapons.
Well, I'm sure that's everybody that's got one.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know anybody in here who's got one.
I don't know anybody who's got one. I've lost it in a fire.
Yeah.
You know, so. Oh, that's not even nasty. That's not even nice. Because I've seen safes from the fires, and those fire safes, they're good for like 45 minutes, maybe even an hour.
Right.
After that, everything turns. You talk about black guns.
They're all black
in there.
So I would like to offer right now if there's anybody that lost their weapon in a fire. Their Armalite rifle, feel free to give us a call or shoot us an email, and we'd be more than happy to help make that happen for you guys, fix part of your, if you got the compliance parts for your, if you need compliance parts for your AR.
Okay.
Or your Armalite.
We'll
help you guys.
You can call
it
AR, it's okay. Yeah. That's what the AR means. No, that's what it means, Armalite, AR.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, now, so when they've said that you've got to completely break down your firearm,
mm-hmm.
which means you've got to take the pin out. And if you're familiar with, the modern sporting rifle, you take the pin out, it kind of breaks, like, and it opens up like a shotgun or something, and then you can pull the bolt out and do all these things. You can clean it. To be able to reload under the new laws, you've got to do that. You've got to pop it out. Then you drop your magazine. Well, anybody knows once you do that, now you've got so many moving parts that it becomes very, very difficult to do, and which is what, of course, they want. Looking at the vast majority of people are just dangerous out there that own these.
Yeah.
But your invention is changing that. And we're going to take a break right now, and we're going to come back, and you're going to tell us exactly how that works. And I'm going to be able to take a look at it here. This portion of the show is brought to you by our friends out there at Shasta Regional Medical Center, Located in the heart of downtown Reading, recipient of the 2017 Health Grades Patient Safety Excellence Award. When it comes to quality, compassion, and community, Shasta Regional Medical Center is the community's choice. We'll be right back with Todd Jones from the Economic Development Corporation and his guest.
You know our love was meant to be.
Hi, I'm Jim from Design Time. Looking for a new laminate for your home or office that's waterproof? Yes, you heard me, waterproof. This takes the worry of your floor being destroyed by water out of the picture. Just ask our professional staff at Design Time about this new exciting product. Visit our showrooms on Highway 273 just north of Wind River Casino. Don't forget, Design Time for all your flooring needs.
If your taste buds are craving a big, juicy burger, there's only one place you can satisfy your craving with the thick, juicy charcoal barbecued flavor of an ugly burger. Made fresh daily, cooked to order, and barbecued to perfection. Then smothered with your favorite fixins from the huge fixins bar. Only at Gift Steak Burger, a Reading landmark for 37 years. Now accepting debit and credit card. Gift Steak Burgers in the Mission Square Shopping Center on Bocelli Lake. Open Monday through Saturday at 9 a.m.
Giving a shout out to Wayne and Pam Barney of Mistletoe Realty.
Be careful posting on social media when leaving town for any period of time. With 66% of all burglaries being committed by someone who knows the victim, sharing where you'll be and how long you'll be gone is a sure sign that your home or business is vulnerable. That's all someone from your social media sphere needs to start scheming their way to your essentials. Wait to post those pictures from Hawaii till after you're home, and you'll save yourself some peace of mind knowing your valuables aren't being taken while you're away.
This security moment brought to you by North State Security, an ounce of prevention since 1968.
With all the activity in the community and now the pressure of school shopping, your wallet may be feeling the pinch. Before you bring out the charge card, look in the bottom of your jewelry box where cash is waiting to be found. The gold mark will turn your broken, outdated, unwanted, and salvaged gold, platinum, and diamonds into instant cash. Our expert staff have been helping people like you for over 30 years. We'll make the process easy and we pay excellent prices. You'll be surprised just how much your unwanted gold will bring. The gold mark in the Town and Country Center, Hilltop Drive, Reading.
Hello, this is a fire news alert update from Andy Main at Shasta.com and ShastaBeam.com. We are sorry to hear about all of those people, friends, and neighbors who have lost homes in the car fire, and we wanted to let everyone know that the towers that are serving West Reading are still in service and operational today, some of them on backup power. During this very difficult time, Shasta Beam's towers have endured the fire, and we want anybody who is out of service to know that you can call our office today, and we can get you installed with internet and telephone service tomorrow to help you through this difficult time. Our phone number at the Mistletoe office is 605-2204. Please call anytime, and we would be happy to help you get service for internet and telephones installed as soon as possible. We would also like to encourage people to go to our ShastaBeam.com website for more information, including a 3-minute video clip of the fire as it approaches our primary tower.
Some things in life you can just rely on, like the perfect fit of your favorite pair of jeans, the nap-inducing powers of your trusty recliner, and the tried-and-true performance of a new Rood home heating system. So here's to reliability, built into everything we do. Rely on Rood.
Get reliable comfort when the weather turns cold with a new heating system installed by the local pros at Alliance Heating and Air. Call Alliance today, 530-221-2642. At Alliance Heating and Air, everybody calls us.
Free Fire Radio. It's a target-rich environment.
Out where the river broke, the bloodwood and the desert oak, cold and restless, boiling diesels, steaming 45 degrees. The time has come.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio in the studios of KCNR 1460. It's about 13 minutes before the hour of 9 o'clock here on Wednesday, the 8th of August. 72 degrees, going up to 102 today. Air quality index is bad. Unhealthy, my friends, unhealthy. It's over 200. Thanks to the 24 fires we have going in California and the insane ideas of the California administrators on how to take care of the environment by just letting the undergrowth go until it burns. And burns 24 fires, and they measure them now in square miles. I'm sorry, was this part of the – this kind of an editorial about the weather here? They don't measure them in acreage anymore. They measure them in square miles. Well, that's the other thing, figuring out what an acre means. All right, the weather's brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane. Hey, I'm here with Todd Jones of the Economic Development Corporation, and he's brought with him another startup company right here in town. And it's a different kind, because usually you're bringing in these tech guys
and software.
But these guys are from Patriot Pen, the Patriot Pen Company, patriotpen.com, Bart McCurdy and Travis Klein. And what they have done is, because of the rules that we have in California, that you have to break down your weapon, your firearm, if it's a sporting rifle, the, quote, AR, to be able to unload it. And if you don't do that now, and if you haven't registered it by June 31st, you are now a criminal.
Yep.
So what they have right here is a way to enhance your rifle, being able to break it open, but then bring it right back into battery.
Correct.
Okay. So explain to people how this works.
Yeah, so basically, you know, bullet buttons are no longer legal, right, unless you registered it.
Unless you registered it.
We offer all the parts to convert your rifle over from a bullet button setup to a fixed magazine. And the benefit to going with a fixed magazine is that you get to keep all of your evil features. So you can have your pistol grips and your flashlight.
Okay, he's saying evil, not eagle. You know, the first time he says eagle. No, it's evil features.
Scary.
Okay, the scary features of the AR.
That a collapsible butt stock
they
makes
have
it more
collapsible
dangerous.
Collapsible butt stop, so you can collapse it and run into a cab or Uber and then open it up and smack somebody. The terrible flash suppressor that you can put a muzzle brake on, it looks just like it. And, of course, the ever insidious
pistol grip.
Both of
them.
And, you know, and then if you actually put on then a front grip on your on the barrel there, which makes it even more dangerous
and scarier.
When you look at it, it's very scary. So now you can still have all those scary features,
yes,
but still be legal.
Correct. So
okay.
And so the definition at that point you have to have a fixed magazine,
right.
And the definition of a fixed magazine says that you can't release that magazine until the rifle is disassembled.
Mm-hmm.
Further, the definition of disassembly on the law says that you have to remove the rear takedown pin, hinge it open, basically you're breaking the action before you can release the magazine. And so
did that just irritate you? Because a bit.
Yes.
I know you too. And you both went, you know what? That just fries my bacon.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So two years ago when they passed the law is kind of when we came up with the idea, because we were looking at videos of people breaking apart the action, and it was just flopping open, and they had it in between their legs, and they were fumbling with it.
It's dangerous.
It was super dangerous and messy and awkward.
And the whole idea behind this is, well, if a person can just drop that magazine and load another one, then they can shoot more. Well, yeah, but the last people we had bullet buttons and all that didn't seem to stop them, so...
So, I mean, we were watching a bunch of videos and we saw kind of an opportunity and we both thought we can make this better. So we started prototyping. I have a 3D printer. We had a prototype within a couple of weeks. We had a working prototype. A couple months after that, we started selling it. And year after that, I mean, this is all we do now. We're doing this full time. We go to all the gun shows and trying to help as many people as possible. But it's super simple system. All you got to do is reach up with your thumb and press a lever, and that lever pulls the rear pin out. At that point, you can hinge it open. As soon as it cracks open, then you can drop the magazine, close it, and then push that pin back in, and you can insert another magazine.
And I've watched them do it, and, of course, they're the inventors of it, but I think even I can figure it out that it takes you about a second. You know, 2 seconds, maybe. Maybe.
It's faster and easier than the bullet button was, the new law was to try to slow you down even more from the bullet button because they thought that was too fast.
Well, the bullet button is because people found ways of taking a screw and screwed it in there.
Right.
Just, you know, a 3-cent screw and hit it. And it gotcha. The magnet, though, the only problem with the magnet was if you're in the field, that magnet just gets knocked off in the first 5 minutes.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. We were having people that came out, you know, during our classes, and they'd have the magnet on there. And I'd say probably half of them had lost their magnet by the time, halfway through the class. Because, you're moving, you're having to reload on the move and all this, and your hand hits it, and it just goes. So they were back to the bullet.
Wow.
So anyway. Okay, so this is something that goes on your sporting rifle. How hard is it to put? Do you put it on, or is it?
Oh yeah, no. So you
take
all of the parts bolt on. You don't have to drill anything. There's no modification to the firearm. I can install the parts in less than 10 minutes.
Okay. Now, do people send you the rifles, or do you?
No.
How does this work?
So we're not an FFL. We just make the parts, and so we can't work on people's rifles. But we offer all the tools for somebody to do it themselves.
And it's easy for a person to do it themselves.
Yeah, very easy. So one of the things we sell is a complete kit that comes with all the parts and all the tools you need to go from a bullet button setup to a fixed magazine setup just like this, everything all in one box.
Okay. I'm sure with clear, easy-to-read directions.
Yes, there's videos on YouTube and pictures, lots of pictures.
And can I say one thing? Keep in mind that if you've already owned an Armalite rifle and you had all these features on there, the adjustable buttstock, the pistol grip, and the flash hider, all that stuff, going a fixed magazine route is actually less expensive than going featureless. By going featureless, you have to take all those features off, if you will, and replace them with
something.
So this is actually a lot more economical, and you get to keep the original look of your weapon the way that it was supposed to be, for the most part.
Yeah, it does. You can't, it pretty much just looks like your regular rifle.
Yep. Yeah.
And you can do this yourself at home.
Absolutely.
So, with all the directions. And now then you have a California compliant rifle.
Yep.
Okay.
So, and then other thing, too, that's really unique. We're the only manufacturer doing this. Both of our takedown pins, front and rear, we make out of a material called Delrin. And it's a self-lubricating polymer that's stronger than aluminum. The reason we do that is because that pin was never meant to come in and out so many times. And now you're doing it every single 10 rounds, right? And so with a regular steel pin on an aluminum receiver, it's going to start wearing out those holes. So the Delrin protects it, makes it last, your receiver's going to last a lot longer. It's not going to wear out.
That's a good point. Never thought of that because you are going to be using it. If you most people don't put 5,000 rounds through their rifles every year, or maybe even 1,000. But popping it open every 10 rounds like that would kind of start wearing down. That's good thinking on it. That's looking ahead. So what are the things y'all coming up with? I mean, this is Patriot Pen. I mean, this is mainly for our state, obviously. Do you see other things that other states are doing that y'all can kind of get into?
Yeah, so there's other states that have similar laws where, our parts, New York is very similar in their laws and our parts will, affect them. But we're also, now that we're doing this full time, we're able to develop other products. And we have a couple things in the works. One, we just released, it's called a Delta pin. And it's also a rear takedown pin, but it's much less expensive and it would be good for anybody in any state. We're starting to sell it all over the U.S. just because it's a very nice aluminum tab that kind of flips in two positions so you can pull it out easy. And that's handy for anybody in, non-restrictive states because it's a quick, easy way to tear down your rifle if you want to clean it, change uppers, whatever else. Because those pins can be a pain to take out.
Here's some comments in here. I'm loving the correct designation of the Armalite rifle. Makes me smile every time I hear it. Of course, we're here for truth and honesty in the American way. And I was not aware the Patriot Pin used Devlin for their takedown pin. Smart move. Yep. So there you go. People obviously know what know their guns.
In our original testing, we used steel pins just like everybody else, and we actually ruined a receiver after only about 1,000 rounds because coming in and out, in and out, in and out, that it started wearing that hole into an oval shape. And at that point, we're like, okay, we got to go back to the drawing board. And everybody else in the industry, every other product you look at that's California compliant is using steel pins or aluminum pins, and that's not good. So
that's good. So now how do people get a hold of you guys?
Best way is to go to our website. It's patriot-pin.com. You can also follow us on Facebook where we make all the announcements for any kind of sales or anything. Speaking of sales, this month is our 2-year anniversary, so everything on the website is 15% off. It's the lowest it's ever been. So if you need to get set up, now's the time to do it, and you save a ton of money.
Well, I tell you what, they also have hats and cups and neat things. on my, if you look at my truck on the left side of the truck on the window behind me, I started out with a gunfighter, and then it went into the NRA and of course the Marine Corps, and then it, then I've got, you know, turkey stuff, and then went into the USCCA. And I can think I can see Patriot Pin on there someplace.
Right. Yeah,
it'll be up there.
I request that you give the names again of our guests.
It's called the PatriotPin.com. It's Patriot-Pin.com. And it's Bart McCurdy and Travis Klein. They've started it right here in our city and are exporting what they're doing throughout the state, but other places too, and this is what they're doing. And I think a lot of people are seeing this as a way of, hey, look, I want to be compliant. I don't want to have, you know, somebody arrest me because I have my Armalite rifle and I love shooting it, and have somebody come up and say, let me see how you can't have that registered. I'm not sure if you just carry around your registration either. That kind of makes me crazy. But they have a way now with this Patriot Pin of being able to be compliant and open up your rifle and close it and reload again in the space of just a couple seconds. And my producer is telling me to round it up. Again, Patriot-Pin.com. Bart McCurdy and Travis Klein, of course. Todd, thank you so much
you
for
bet.
Coming
Thanks
in here.
For having me, Carl.
Hey, tomorrow Clark and Clark are on with their craziness, but also two little girls that raised $800 in money to help fire victims and a lemonade stand, and they're selling again tomorrow.
That's awesome.
Remember, it's the good guys against the bad guys. Which are you?
The news is brought to you on KCNR, Shasta, Red.